We're going to start again from the Gemara because we left off in the middle, five lines in the top of Tazayin Amid Aleph. Okay, it's a new piece of Gemara. The Mishnah said that you can buy an Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave could be acquired with a document. Right, just like a woman, technically, you write Adat Mukadeshesi on a document. You give it to her, she becomes Mukadeshes. So the same thing in Eved Ivri can be acquired with a document. So Gemara says, Minolam, from where do we learn? What's the source of it? How do you know that you can acquire an Eved with a document? Amr Ullah, so Ullah said, we learn that from a Pasuk. Amr Kar, the Pasuk says, Yemacheres Yikachlei, it says, by a Hebrew maidservant, it says, if the husband takes another wife in addition to the maidservant that he married. So we liken Hakesha Kosev Lacheres. The Torah likens a maidservant to a wife. Ma Acheres Mekanya Bishtar. Just like a woman could be acquired with a document, like the Gemara said, we learned it out before. What are you looking at? 30. Tezayin. 30. Not 30, when they heat. Yeah, here. Now we're like 6-7 lines in the top. So it says, Ma'acheres mekanya bishtar, just like a wife can be acquired with a document, af ama yivriya mekanya bishtar, and ama yivriya can also be acquired with a document. So the Gemara says like this. We liken a maidservant, meaning a slave, to a woman. Just like you can acquire a woman with a document, the shtar, we learned that out before in the Gemara, the same thing, you can acquire a maidservant, or a Jewish servant, the male servant, with a document. So Gemara says like this, Hey Nichalaman di Omar, that's only good according to the opinion that says, Shtar Omi Ivriya, that the document of this maidservant, Odin Kesir, the master, writes it. The purchaser writes the document. I'll explain in a second. Ella Laman di Omar of Kesir, according to the opinion that says, the father writes it, Ma'ika Lamema, what could you say? It's like this. Just picture this scenario. Man acquiring a wife. Okay? He's the receiver. The man receives the wife. He acquires the wife. Correct? He acquires the wife. So he is, so to speak, the buyer. Okay? She's like the seller. That's the din of kedushin. Therefore, when you buy an Omei Yivriya, the father is the seller. And the master is the buyer. Correct? Now, when you buy an Oma Ivriya from the father, because a girl over 12 can never be sold as a slave. A Jewish girl can only be sold by her father when she's under Bas Mitzvah. That's the only way you can have a possibility of a Jewish maidservant. Okay? A male can sell himself later. But a Jewish maidservant is only possible under Bas Mitzvah. So basically, the father is the one that sells his daughter as a slave. Now, there's two opinions in the Gemara, whoever. Who writes the document? Does the father write the document to the master? I am selling my daughter as a slave to you. Or does the master write the document saying, I am acquiring your daughter. Now, if the master writes it, okay, he's the buyer. By Kedushin, who writes it? The man. He's also the buyer. Buyer. It makes sense. But if by Ami Ivriya you say, the father writes the document, meaning the seller writes the document, you can't compare that to Kedushin. Because by Kedushin, the buyer writes the document, not the seller. Who by Kedushin, the man writes the document to the woman, you are my wife, right? She's giving herself over to the husband. He's the buyer. She's the seller. Who writes the document? The buyer, right?
The husband at this point.
Which is the buyer. That means by Omi Ivriya, if you want to follow that order, then who should write the document? The master, because he's buying the girl. But if you hold the father writes the document, how can you compare Kedushin to Omei Ivriya, because one's the buyer writing it, one's the seller writing it. It's a whole different story. And the Gemara says, the Idma, where do we see such an argument? Because we learned, Shtar Ami Ivriya Mi Kaisvi. Who writes the document when you buy an Ami Ivriya? Okay? We know the Torah says you can buy it acquired with a Shtar. Who writes the document? So Rav Huna, Ami Rav Huna says, Adon Kaisvi. The master who buys the Elma, the buyer, he's the one that writes the document. Rav Chista Amar, Rav Chista says, Av Kaisvi. The father writes the document that I'm selling it. I'm selling the girl. So Gemara says, Hey, Nichol Rav Huna, according to Rav Huna, it makes sense. Because he writes, the master writes it, meaning the buyer writes it. That's the same concept of Kedushin. Right? That the buyer writes it. Ela Rav Chista, but according to Rav Chista, that says that the father writes it, meaning the seller writes it. How can you compare it to Kedushin? And that's what the Gemara is saying. We want to learn out that you can buy an Ami Ivriya with a document from Kedushin. But that can only be learned out if it's done the same way, that the buyer writes it. But according to Rav Chista, that the seller writes it, how can you compare it to Kedushin? You can't learn it out from Kedushin. So Gemara answers a different answer. Do you know how we know that you can acquire a servant with a document? Because Amar Avacha Bayakiv, Amar Krad, the Pasuk says, they say, tzei kitzei so avodim. A maidservant does not go out the way a goyish slave goes out. That's what the Torah says. Avol niknasi, but if the Torah says she doesn't become freed like a goyish slave, which means she could be acquired like a goyish slave though. Ma'aniya, what is that? Shtar. Just like you can acquire a goyish slave with a document. Okay, and we learn out like this. The Torah says, a Jewish maidservant, and again, maidservant, male, female, same thing. The Torah says, a Jewish girl does not go out of slavery like a goyish slave goes out. Meaning, she goes out when she hits 12, a goyish servant stays forever. Unless you knock out his tooth, his eye, or one of the 24 primary organs of the person. If you knock him out, so then the din is, he goes out free. But normally, an Eved Kanani, you buy a goyish slave, he's with you forever, and his kids are with you forever, and when you die, your kids get inherit the slave. So the Torah says, she does not go out like a goyish slave goes out. Which means, she doesn't go out like a goyish slave, but going in, becoming a slave, she does become like a goyish slave. Now, one of the ways of acquiring a goyish slave is by a document. So therefore, we learn out, the Gemara says, that a Jewish maidservant or a male Jewish servant could be acquired with a document. Because the Torah says she doesn't become freed like a goyish slave. But it means, but to be acquired, she could be acquired like a goyish slave. Right? Because the Torah only says she doesn't become free like a goyish slave. Meaning, but to become a bought, she could become bought like a goyish slave. How do you buy a goyish slave? With a document. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. Maybe she becomes acquired with chazaka. Because the din is like this. Eved Kanani, a goyish slave, could be acquired in three ways. Money, document, or chazaka. The chazaka is a very broad word. Chazaka means you do something that shows ownership. Remember we discussed by a field. One of the ways you acquire a field, by chazaka, you make a fence, you make a hole, you do something in the field that shows ownership. Right? That is an acquisition. What is a chazaka by a slave? If you make him work. If I buy a slave, okay, and I make him work, and he works, then he becomes mine. That's one of the ways you can acquire.
But if somebody claims them, how are you going to prove that you bought them? You still need a document.
Yeah, but that's not the acquisition, that's only proof.
Uh-huh. So when you acquire it.
There's two things. There's the actual acquisition, and then there's the proof of the acquisition. But the acquisition has nothing to do with the proof. The proof just comes up in case people argue later. Right?
But doesn't the goyish slave become a full-fledged Jew?
Only when he becomes freed.
Goyish?
Yeah. You buy a goyish slave. You buy a goyish slave. You give him a bris. Take him to the mikveh. He becomes obligated for all the mitzvahs like a woman. He's not a full-fledged Jew. Can't count it for a minion. He has to do only mitzvahs women could do. If for whatever reason it is, you free him, he becomes a full-fledged Jew.
If he wants to?
Huh?
If he wants to, or
no.
Automatically?
No. Now, what happens if when you bought him, the guy said, hey, I'm not going for no bris. I'm not going for no Judaism. So the Rambam says, you negotiate with him for a year. Try to convince him. After a year, he doesn't accept it, you gotta let him go. Have them go free.
Rabbi,
for free. Yeah.
Wasn't it conditional that whenever that you acquire anybody that you had to circumcise them?
Only a slave.
It was just a slave?
What else? Who else do you acquire?
Well, talking about the Abraham Avinu, when he acquired all his servants.
Yes, yeah, so if you acquire a servant, they all together bris.
Yes.
But I'm saying, who else is there that you're acquiring?
Those servants were his Avadim?
Yeah. Avid Kanani.
Yeah, but they all had to be circumcised in the beginning anyway.
Right. And in fact, the din is, a goyish slave that you acquire, you don't wait till the eighth day to do a bris. If you acquire him when he's a day old, you give him a bris and just cut it off right away.
This is you're encouraged to give him a bris?
You have to give him a bris.
As soon as you acquire any non-Jewish.
Yeah, no. The day you acquire him, the Rambam says, in the Gemara, you have to give him a bris.
What's the logic on that?
Yeah, what is
the... Because the fact that you bought him, that automatically makes him, like we said, a partial Jew, if he accepts that he's obligated to mitzvahs like women have to do. That's why you do. See, women always have this problem. The Mishnah many times say Noshim Vavodim, women and slaves. Yeah, so they you know, unless you know what you're talking about, you think, oh, women are slaves. But the slaves are obligated in the same din as a woman. So therefore the Mishnah puts them together, not because women are slaves, but because Avodim have the same din in Halacha like a woman. So it's Noshim and Avodim are obligated, not obligated, whatever it is. But the bottom line is, you can acquire him with kesef, with shtar, or chazaka. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. How do we know you can acquire a maidservant with document? Because it says like this. She doesn't go out like a goyish slave, which means she goes in like a goyish slave. How does a goyish slave go in? With shtar. So you see, you could acquire a maidservant with shtar. But the Gemara says maybe it means chazaka. How do you know shtar? He says, he has to be acquired like a slave. But a slave, male goyish slave, you could acquire with a chazaka, making him work. So maybe that's the way. How do you know a woman can be acquired with document just because the goyish slave is acquired with chazaka? Maybe the Torah is teaching us you can acquire a Jewish servant with chazaka. How do you know it could be shtar? What?
So you negotiate with him for a year.
To do a bris.
Or just to
do
bris.
Trust me, if he accepts a bris, man, he's...
So where does that concept of the convert that get converts? Are they considered to be one of those that were destined to be converts?
A slave who becomes a full-fledged Jew has a din of a ger. He has a din of a ger.
Why do it?
So it was meant to be
yeah.
For him to go
yeah, yeah,
and to be redeemed into a...
You believe in divine providence or not?
That's how
don't answer the question. But if somebody believes in divine providence, the fact that this person became a slave to a Jew, it's all from Hashem. Why did the Jew acquire this particular slave, who's a guy? Because this neshama is Jewish somehow, and he has to become a Jew. So some people could become through conversion. This guy is in the process of conversion, goes through slavery, and then if whatever happens, he becomes a Jew.
Even if he's not interested,
he really
yeah.
doesn't
bother. The Gemara says the famous Rabbi Lazar came into Shul once with a goyish slave. Okay, and there were 9 people for a minion, and he freed a slave to be able to make a minion.
Wow.
And even though the Gemara says, the Gemara in Gittin says that if you free your slave, you transgress a positive mitzvah in the Torah, because it says la'olam bohem ta'avaydu, they should work for you forever. So Gemara says davening with a minyan was so important, it undid the positive mitzvah of which is not really a mitzvah. The Rishonim, right? It's just the Gemara says mitzvah. They write it's not really a mitzvah that to daven with a minyan.
Could, what? How do you free him without injuring him?
Oh, you could just give him freedom.
Even though,
if you no, if you damage him, he goes out whether you like it or not. But you have a right to free your slave.
Anytime.
Anytime.
So the slave came in with the rabbi. He got freed. Did he become a Jew?
Yeah.
What if he didn't want to make him a Jew?
At that stage of the game, once he became a slave and he had a bris and he had no choice.
He was purchased. But I thought the bris when Abraham gathered all these.
Because that's when Hashem told him to do a bris.
Yeah, Hashem told him to do the bris.
Right, so he did it.
What was the purpose of this bris? What was the purpose of giving them the bris?
Because if they're owned by a Jew, they need the concept of a bris.
They gave bris to a lot of poor people, like in Egypt.
Shechem. Okay, that's because there was an ulterior motive. Okay, but let's not. Yeah, let's go. What?
Does this practice today?
No, there's no avodim today. Even before Abraham Lincoln, there were no slaves in Torah.
Why was it that it was Avraham Gamliel?
Tevi.
Yeah, he was very happy because he made him blind so he could set him free. And he was told that that's not the case. If you could set an Eved free, which is...
No, an Eved Kanani could be a quiet... Yeah, he can be a quiet... Can you? The Eved is Eved Kanani. Okay, that's Eved Ivri. The next Mishnah. You have to turn a lot of pages until you find them. I know the next mission didn't come for a while, but it does here. Eved Kanani, okay. Nikna bekesef shtar bechazaka. V'kainu satim bekesef idei achedim. Other people can buy him out, okay. Or v'shtar idei atzmei. If the master writes him a shtar, chomim bekesef idei atzmei shtar idei achedim. You could do it.
But Torah says that you do it forever doesn't necessarily mean that you're not allowed to free him, right?
Well, that's the question. If you free an Eved, the Gemara says in Gittin, HaMishach Avda Eved Be'eseh. You transgress. But again, the Rishonim learned it doesn't mean a real positive mitzvah you transgress, like not putting on tefillin. You're doing something not too good. But for whatever reason, you want to free him to make a minyan, you could.
More than a minyan.
Right.
Traditional.
So I didn't understand, was the act of making the minyan higher than the one?
Yeah.
The act of releasing.
Right.
So it was worth
it. Yes.
When it comes to convert, there's a concept of dissuading that he should stay a good guy.
Right. But once he sees he's serious. But here Hashem gave him to you because he bought him. Okay, anyway. So the Gemara's question is, you're telling me that you could buy a maidservant or a Jewish servant the way an Eved could, and therefore we learn out that you could do it with Shtar. The Gemara said maybe you could do it with Chazaka. Chazaka, how do you know Shtar is good to acquire an Eved? Maybe if you make him work, that's the way you acquire him. How do I know? Just by writing a document you acquire him. So it says like this, V'snachalt amikra, because it says in the Pasuk, V'snachaltem eisem levnechem acharechem, you should hold these Goyish slaves as an inheritance for your children after you. And it says, Eisem b'chazaka. Over those, you could do with chazaka. B'loi acher b'chazaka. Because the Torah says like this, V'snachaltem eisem. They you could acquire. And the Gemara learns that the pasuk means chazaka. So only an Eved you could acquire b'chazaka, not an Amma. So therefore, when we learn out, though, that an Amma could be acquired like an Eved is acquired, it must mean Shtar. It can mean Chazaka because there's a pasuk that explicitly excludes an Amma from being kainu with Chazaka. Only a Goyish slave could be acquired with Chazaka. So therefore, we're left that how can you can acquire a Jewish maid a servant or maid servant only through Shtar. In other words, like this. The fact that the Torah says she doesn't go out like a Goyish slave, meaning she becomes a slave like a Goyish slave, right? Money we know already. So the Gemara said, must mean Shtar. So the Gemara said, maybe it means Chazaka. So the Torah says it can't mean Chazaka. Because Chazaka excludes Amma from being acquired with Chazaka. So what's left? Shtar. So you see that a Jewish servant or a maid servant could be acquired with the shtar.
Money?
Money, yeah, that we learned clear. So the Gemara says, how do you know? This Nachaltim, a sum excludes Chazaka, maybe Aysim Bishtar, maybe it excludes that you can only acquire a Goyish slave with a document and not a Yiddish slave, but maybe Chazaka you could. So Gemara says, it says, only say so avod, but it says you can't go out like a maidservant goes out. Meaning like this. The Gemara is going back and forth. It's a very simple Gemara. It's just going back and forth like this. We know there's a few guiding psukim over here, okay? One pasuk says, she does not go out like a slave goes out. She meaning a Jewish slave. She does not go out like a Goyish slave. Which teaches us, she goes in though like a Goyish slave. Because the Torah says she doesn't go out like a Goyish slave. That means she becomes a slave like a Goyish slave. Now, how is a Goyish slave acquired? The Gemara says, with shtar, with document. So therefore, it teaches us that a Jewish servant could be acquired with a document. So Gemara says, no, maybe it means chazaka, because there's a pasuk that says an eved could be acquired with chazaka. Maybe it means a Jewish servant could be acquired with chazaka. How do you know they can be acquired with shtar? So the Gemara says, because the pasuk says that you should acquire Goyish slaves as a narrative. But the Torah doesn't use the word chazaka. It says, Goyish slaves you acquire. Okay? So the Gemara thought, what does it exclude? Chazaka. Therefore, chazaka cannot apply to a Jewish servant. So what's left? Shtar. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. How do you know it excludes chazaka? And therefore we include shtar. Maybe it excludes shtar, and we include chazaka. Because an eved Goyish slave could also be acquired with chazaka. How do you know it's shtar, when there's also a possibility maybe it means chazaka? So the Gemara says, no, but 1 minute. It says, though, she can't go out like a Goyish slave, means she goes in like a Goyish slave. So one of them have to be. But the Gemara's question, how do we know which one it is? It could be shtar, it could be chazaka. So Gemara is back at the beginning. How in the world do I know that you can acquire a Jewish servant with a document? Because there's a possibility of chazaka, and there's a possibility of shtar. Any one of the two work. How do you know the Torah teaches a shtar? Maybe the Torah teaches us chazaka.
So where's the third verse? One second.
So Gemara says like this: Umaro Isa. Why do you learn the pasuk this way, not the other way? You know, who tells you learn shtar and not chazaka? Maybe it's chazaka, not shtar. So Gemara says like this: Mistabra, logic tells us shtar. If you want to include one of the two, you should include a document, not chazaka. Why? Shekei metzia bebas yisrael, because documents free a Jewish girl. How does a Jewish girl go out? What they get. Right? So therefore, if you're talking about including and excluding, document makes much more sense than a chazaka. Because we find by a Jewish girl the concept of a document. Get. So Gemara says, Adrabe, chazaka you should include. Why? Shekein kena benichsi haged, because in the ger's possessions, you can only acquire with chazaka. I mean, like, this is a very interesting concept. And this will clarify the whole Gemara in a second. Normally, if somebody dies, the property goes to the relatives, right? And the Gemara says there is no Jew that doesn't have a relative, right? If you don't have children, right, you have a father. You don't have a father, you have father's brothers. You don't have father's brothers, you have their ancestors, all the way back to Avraham Avinu, okay? So there isn't a Jew that doesn't have a relative. There's one Jew who doesn't. If a ger becomes a Jew, right? A guy becomes a Jew, buys land, never gets married, no wife, no kids, right? Single ger, becomes a ger, he buys property, and then he dies. Who gets the property? No. Called free-for-all. Efker. Now, how does a guy acquire the land from Hefker? Now normally there's a buyer and a seller, right? You give me money, you acquire it. But if there's no me, who you want to acquire the ger's property, who are you going to give money to? Who are you going to give a document to? there's no buyer and a seller. There's a land in you. So the only way to acquire land of a ger is by doing something in the field. Chazaka. Right? So what's stronger, chazaka or shtar? Chazaka is so strong, you can acquire even if there's no giver. Right? What's stronger? Shtar. First the Gemara said, we can include either shtar or chazaka. Okay? Because an eved is acquired with shtar or chazaka. So therefore we want to learn out that a Jewish servant can also be acquired with shtar or chazaka. Right? So Gemara says, why are you saying shtar? Maybe it's chazaka. So Gemara says, because shtar is better. Why is shtar better? Because a get is a shtar. Right? So Gemara says, no, I'll prove to you chazaka is better. Because chazaka is so powerful, even if there's no giver, you can acquire it anyway. So maybe it should include the stronger of the kinyanim, which is chazaka. So the Gemara is again, why are you including shtar? Maybe it's chazaka. Chazaka is better than shtar.
In terms of tangible and land.
Right.
Only, but maybe human is different. Maybe,
huh?
Maybe Eved is different.
No, but we're learning out Jewish servant from Goyish servant. They're both Eveds. The question is, we learn out from one thing we know. That the Pasuk says she doesn't become free like a Goyish slave, and therefore she's acquired like a Goyish slave, right? But the Gemara says there's two possibilities though. A Goyish slave could be acquired, besides money, because that's money is good by everybody. He could be acquired with shtar, he could be acquired with chazaka, right? The Gemara's original question is, how do I know I can acquire an Eved, Jewish Eved, with shtar? So Gemara said, well, we learned it out, because she doesn't go out like a Goyish slave, she goes in. How do you acquire a Goyish slave? With a document. So you see, a Jewish servant could be acquired with a document. So Gemara said, how do you know that? Maybe it's chazaka. So Gemara said, no, shtar is better. So if the one of the two, which one would I think? Shtar. So Gemara said, what do you mean shtar is better? Chazaka is better. Chazaka you could acquire with nobody giving it to you. That's how powerful it is. We learned already, you know, there's a din. That in the Gemara says this, in biblical law, if there's a lost article in the street, okay, you're allowed to take it. If the owner gave up hope, right? Yeah, you find an article in the street, somebody lost, there's no identification, you could take it. Why? Because it's ownerless. How did it become ownerless? When the owner gave up hope of finding it, like you lose money in the street, right? Not your wallet. Maybe you find some crazy person who's going to return it. But you lose dollars in the street, yeah? you give up hope right away, because there's no way you're going to think somebody's going to, you're going to get it back, right? That concept of what's called yiyush, giving up hope, that removes my ownership from the object. Okay? Now it's ownerless, finder keeps it. Because otherwise, if it's mine, how could you take it? Right? If there's an identification, then I don't give up hope, because I'm hoping somebody will return it, right? So I never removed my ownership from it. So if you take it, you're a ganif. If you take it, you're a ganif. Right? Because it's still mine. I never removed ownership from it. Why are you allowed to take a lost article in the street? The Gemara explains. Because when you do yiyush, right, which means you remove, you give up hope, that removes, like, I give up my ownership, and therefore it becomes free for all, and anybody can take it. Okay? You know that according to Halacha, a kid under bar mitzvah cannot acquire it from Hefker. A kid under bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, if they pick it up, they don't acquire it.
And slap them and get it back.
1 second. The Gemara says, the Chachamim made a rule. We don't want fights. Can you imagine a kid picks it up, kid finds something expensive, and the guy who walks by sees a kid picked it up, he doesn't own it, he's going to grab it away from the kid. And biblically it would be his, because the kid never acquired it. Right? What's going to happen? He's going to be yelling and screaming and biting and kinking and scratching. And this, Chacham said, you know what? For peaceful marriage, the kid keeps it. I mean, it goes to his parents, but you can't take it away from a kid. Why can the kid not acquire it? Because a kid under bar and bas mitzvah lack the maturity to be able to acquire something without a giver. But the Gemara says, if you give something to a kid, and the kid is old enough, mature enough, to understand the difference between a nut and a pebble, that a pebble he'll throw away and the nut he'll keep, the din is, if you give him that, he acquires it biblically, and it becomes his.
Not the parents?
No. Well, that's, if the parents support him, okay, I'll tell you how this is practical in
you're talking about between him taking and someone giving, right?
Right. In other words, if there's giver, the kid could acquire it. Why? Because the mind of the giver helps the kid to receive it. But if there's no giver, like the Gemara says, Nichsi Aged, there's no giver, it's Hefker, it's a lost article in the street. Where there is no giver, the kid can't receive it. Okay. But chazaki is so strong. Money, in order for money to make it happen, you need a giver and a taker of the money. Document, you need a giver and a taker of the document. So those acquisitions are really 50-50. 50 giver, 50 receiver. But chazaka, that there's no owner, and you go yourself and make something done in the field, right? That chazaka is so strong that even if there's no giver, you can acquire it. So it's a much better kinyan than shtar. And there's a very important practical din. I mean, not punktus gemar, but what we just said is very important when it comes to lulav and esrog. The first day of Sukkot, the lulav has to be yours. Correct? So when it comes, if you don't have a lulav, how can I give you my lulav? It has to be yours. Borrowing it does not make it yours. So the din is, I give it to you as a matana, a gift, that you give it back to me. On the condition that you give it back. So when you give it back, retroactively, it was mamish 100% yours. Yeah? You can't do that with a kid. The kid has the maturity to acquire it, but he doesn't have the maturity to give it back. So once the kid acquires it, it's the kid.
You can't even borrow it from a kid?
No, it's not yours. It has to be yours.
No, I'm saying that the next day.
The next day also, l'chatchila, should be yours.
Oh, okay.
Huh? You don't give it to them. They're doing it anyway, chinuch. Huh? When are you doing for educational purposes? Yeah, but you never have mind to give it to them.
So if they go on the side and they're not that so if the one that did they do it or
they did it because the owner of the lulav, the kid is just giving it, the guy that who owns the lulav has in mind that whoever is going to bench it, and he's giving it to them.
What if it's at
all? Huh?
Buy it for them, and then they use it for the
if you buy it for the kid, you have to have in mind that you're not really buying it for the kid. You're letting him use it, but it's yours. You're right, because if the kid owns it, this year it doesn't matter anymore, because it's Shabbos, there's no first day this year. There's no biblical lulav this year, right? Because first day is Shabbos. But I'm saying, technically, if the kid buys it, and you buy it and give it to the kid and say, this is yours, you know what I mean? And you have in mind, Mama, she giving it to him, the kid can't use that lulav and esrog for to go bench with people on the first day. What?
Why Amaria? She's under 12, and then you decide that you don't want her anymore. You want to let her go. You're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
The kid's gonna go out.
Back to the father.
The father couldn't afford to keep her. That's why she sold her.
And if a father can't afford to keep his kid, and he'd marry her off. Yeah. I mean, it's a great thing. Marry off the kids when they're 10 or 12. That somebody else has all the headaches.
Only if didn't call
why do you have to be teenagers by you? Let them be teenagers by your husband. Huh? Let somebody else pay the tuition, yeah. Why do you have to pay the tuition? Let the guy pay the tuition. Good point. Okay. Anyway. So the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara's question is, why are you including Shtar? Chazok is even better than Shtar. So Gemara said, yeah, but listen. But by marital laws, we don't see the concept of chazaka. We only see shtar. We're talking about acquiring a maidservant. That's woman issue, so to speak. So over there, we never find the concept of chazaka. You don't acquire a wife by making her cook for you. You know what I mean? It is the concept of shtar. There's no chazaka acquiring a wife. So by issues, by matrimonial things, we don't find the concept of the chazak, we find shtar. So therefore, if we want to include by an Amei Ivriya, what kinyan should we include? Shtar or chazak, we include shtar. Because that's Iboy Semer, another answer, that you know why we include shtar, because it says, Lahoch Yani Macheda Sikachle. The Pasuk said before, that if the man will take another wife, right? So therefore we liken the acquiring of the Amma the way you take a wife. Because by the Pasuk, by Amma, says in the same Pasuk, if he marries another woman. So we're likening Amma to marriage. So it's even a stronger reason why we should, let's say, Shtar, because Shtar applies by marital ease. Number one, Kedushin could be with Shtar. A get is done with Shtar. And chazaka, we don't find by marital things. So now the Gemara says, Ravuna, but according to Ravuna, that learns this thing from a different law, Ha'ilei Seitz, it could say, Sa'avad, and my daughter's pay. Because Ravuna learns, before, Ravuna said, that the master writes it, right? Unlike that the, right, Ravuna says, yeah, Macher Sikachlei, okay? Not Lisaitzik Say Savon. He learns out from Macher Sikachlei. So he says, what does he do with the Pasuk Lisaitzik Say Savon? For him, he learns out something else in the Pasuk. So Gemara says, Hai Miborle teaches us like this. Shaini Yaitze Berashi Yvarim Ke'evit. He tells us like this. You know what it means a woman doesn't go out like a slave? If you knock out her eye, she doesn't go out free. Only an Evid Kanani goes out free. That's what Rav Huna holds. If you knock out her eye, by an Eved, Goyisha Eved, he would go out free. By Amei Vriya, not.
You pay damages, though?
You'd have to pay damages, yeah. But she wouldn't be go out free until her time is up. But Rav Chista, so how does Rav Chista know that? How does he know that X? Because he uses the pasuk leitzeitzei ketzei salvadim for something else. So he says the Torah should have said leitzeitzei ka'avadim. She shouldn't go out like avadim. Instead, the pasuk says leitzeitzei ketzei salvadim. There's a double expression, going out. So teaches us shmamin otarti, teaches us both dinim. Number one, that she could be acquired with shtar. Number two, that if you knock out her eye, she doesn't go out free. She doesn't go out free. Only a goyish slave goes out free. By the way, you know, it's a very interesting thing. Gemara says, in Rambam is down in Aloch, if the Eved is smart, and he has an ignorant master, and he says, he says to the guy, to the master, you know, I have a toothache, pull out my tooth. And the master doesn't know, and he pulls out his tooth. He goes free. He outwitted the master, and he goes out free.
But what happens to the Jewish girl now who has an accident?
She stays a slave until the time comes out. He has to pay her damages. They can knock out anybody's eye, God forbid.
Yeah, he has to pay her damages. Yeah.
Right.
Or the father.
Well, if she's under bas mitzvah, the father gets the damages.
She can only stay there until she's 12.
Right. But let's say when she's 10, he knocks out her eye. Uh-huh. She pays the father the damages. And she stays in Eved.
And she stays in Eved.
Yeah. The only way the girl can stay longer is if the guy marries her. Or the son marries her. Yeah. Either one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then she stays forever, like a regular wife.
Encouraged, right?
Well, if they want to marry her, they can marry her. She's a good cook, they'll marry her.
What were you saying about the...
The labor laws in America wouldn't necessarily agree with this stuff.
The Jewish slave...
What do you call child slave labor, yeah?
You said if a person knocks out a tooth, the Jewish slave, they don't go for it?
No.
There was no
welfare. Only a guy should.
There's no welfare. What's the reason for that? Is there a reason?
Shorter term. Because she goes out automatically at
12. Yeah, but maybe... So, no, you can learn it. The Gemara, I think the Gemara is going to ask it later. You can ask a question, Ma da chagayish a slave who stays forever when you knock at his tooth, he goes out. So an Eved Ivri that stays even less, for sure he should go out. No?
But
the Torah says no, that's it.
They have a time period.
So what?
Have time period.
But look, Ma da chagayish a slave who stays forever. If you knock at his tooth, he goes out free. That means that kind of tooth is so powerful, it can even undo a permanent slavery. So a guy that has a temporary slavery, for sure he should be able to go out free.
But do you believe he can go
maybe
out
not,
free?
Maybe not, because it's
that's when everybody...
So what?
That's when the Jewish girl can go in the Jubilee.
I understand, but we've got the Jubilee. It knocks out a tooth. Why not?
Somehow there seems to be an advantage of being in the remaining slave for that one that was injured.
Why?
Somehow, maybe that.
Terry says he goes out free.
What's compensation for the Jewish slave?
No, that's only a Jewish slave, not a Goyish slave.
What's the compensation for the Jewish
slave?
You have to pay him damages. If what? If you knocked out his eye? You have to pay damages. If you come over to anybody and knock out the tooth, what do you do?
Okay, I'm saying.
You have to pay.
That's a slave.
Yeah.
But if you knock out their eye, you don't have to let them go.
Not a Jewish servant, only a Goyish servant.
Oh.
Okay, then the Gemara says, the Eved Ivri acquires himself b'shanim in 6 years. Right? After 6 years, he goes out free. So, what? Yeah, we got there, eh? The Gemara says, t'chsiv, why? Because it says in the Pasuk, shei shanim yaved, uvashviyis yetzei lechofshi. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, be yovel. It also says the Mishnah goes out in the Jubilee year. How do we know? Because it says, Atshnasa yovel, Yavinimach. If you pierce his ear, you know, drill his ear, the Torah says, clearly you go out in yovel. So therefore, that's clearly in the Pasuk, okay? But the Mishnah says there's another way an Eved can go out, was called Giroin Kesef. Giroin Kesef means he frees himself with the amount of money which is left until the end of the 6 years. One. Deduction of money. Now, Amechiskia, how do we know deduction of money allows an Eved to go free? In other words, like we learned already, you buy an Eved, let's say, for $600. He works 6 years, right? So it's $100 a year. What happens after 3 years? The Eved comes and says, Master, here's $300, I'm off. He has to let him go. So Gemara says, how do we know that? Maybe he can't do that. How do we know? Where will we see in the Chumash that you have the ability to do it? That he goes out in 6 years, the Pasuk says clearly. Then he goes out in Yevol, the Pasuk says clearly. But how do you know that an Eved Ivri can buy his freedom? So Gemara says, because the Amechizki, the Amechra, because the Pasuk says like this. The Hevda, he will cause her to become redeemed. That's what the Pasuk means. It says, V'hevda, la'amnach lo'yim sholomachr bevigdeva. So it says, Malamed, it teaches us, Shemegara pegayinat, that she can deduct from the price of her payment, V'yait, and she can go out, and the same din applies to a Jewish slave. Because we let a Jewish slave and a female slave are the same dinim, except this one goes out at 12, this one goes out after 6 years, whatever. But, by the way, even on Me'ivriya, if you buy a 5-year-old girl as a slave, she goes out at 11. Because 6 years also she goes out. Okay, so maid servant and Jewish servant are the same dinim. If she could redeem herself, so can a Jewish male servant. He could redeem himself and go out free. What? Right, I'm saying whatever you buy when she's 5.
The fact that somebody's value will go up wouldn't change the...
No, it goes by the price you paid.
Sorry, is that what he said? Is it if they buy their freedom, they're still a Jew? If it's a boy, it's a man. Or if they're Jewish, the non-Jewish ones, if they buy their freedom...
No, Jewish slaves can't.
Not Jewish slaves, but the Goyish
slaves. Slaves cannot. Only Jewish slave could.
Oh, they can buy their freedom.
No. Okay, so there's the Tanna. It says in a Braisa like this. How does a Jewish slave go free? It says in a Braisa like this. Kainas Atma Kasa Vishava Kesef. He can acquire himself as a freedom by money or equal money, or bishtar with a document. Gemara doesn't know yet what that means. So Gemara says like this. Bishtar Mekasef. I understand money. He could redeem himself because it says Mekasef Meknase. From the money of his buying. Okay? That you could buy yourself back. Shavu kesef nami, equal to money, we know also, because it says in the Torah, Yashiv Geulasai, he will repay his redemption. And that is an extra word, and this is a rule in Torah. L'rabi shavu kesef kesef. It teaches us that the equal to money has the same din as money. Give me an example. Whenever you have to buy something, but we learned in the first Mishnah, you can acquire a woman, bekesef. Umar says, what is it? Bepruta, or shava pruta. Or equal to a penny. It doesn't have to be money. You have to redeem a pinyan ben, right? You have to redeem a firstborn. So you have to give him 5 shekel. Okay? 5 shekel today is approximately 101 grams of silver. Whatever the value of 101 grams of silver. Okay? Now, you could give the kohen 101 grams of silver. Okay? Or, let's say 101 grams of silver, let's say it's $10 an ounce, and it's 100 grams, you have to give him something worth... No, it's a gram, not an ounce. Let's say it's $1 a gram, let's just make it easy, $1 a gram, you have to give him 101 grams of silver, or... You can give him something worth $101. You can give him 20 cases of soda. If it's worth $101, the Torah learns out Kesef and Shavu Kesef are both equal. You can't have any, you know, Shavu Kesef is just like money. Worth the money is just like money itself. So the Rabbis, it teaches us Shavu Kesef ki Kesef, that equal money is like money. But the Gemara says, Elahai Shtad, what does a document mean? How does an Eved Ivri go free with a document? Like, who writes the document? What document? Ilema de kosev le'ashtar adame. If the master writes him a note, that means the servant writes the master a note, an IOU, for the money. He said, that's money. That's not document, that's money. Okay? The master accepts that he owes him the sick alone. Ela shichrur, we must say a document of freedom. Right? He writes him, you are free. So he says, shtar lameli. Why do you need to write a document that you're free? Lameli ba'apetrei. Why can't the servant, the master, tell the servant in front of two witnesses, zil, go, you're free. Inami or else, ba'apet beidina, let him say, go in front of a bez and let him go free. Why do you need to write a document? The Gemara says, what, how does an Eved Ivri go out with a document? The master writes him a document, you're free. Right? So the Gemara says, why? Why can't you just say go? Why does he need to write a document?
Proof that he was free.
The Gemara is not talking about proof. The Gemara is talking about the acquisition. He acquires himself through a document. So the Gemara says, why do you need a document? And the Gemara is thinking now, if you work for me, right? And we have a contract. And I say, you know what? Forget the contract, you're free. I need to write a document that you're free? You're free. Right? If I tell you you're fired, you don't need to write a document, you're fired. I tell you you're fired, you're fired.
Well,
huh? Things us to collect unemployment.
Maybe the owner.
Oh! The problem is, this is what Rav is going to answer, a very big chiddush. You don't own a Jewish slave, you own a Goyish slave. You don't own a Jewish slave.
You own the contract?
No, you don't. You own his working abilities.
So it's like he's bound to you through a contract?
No, he's not. You don't own a worker. You own a Goyish slave. The guy only works for you for 6 years.
He's bound to you.
No, he's not.
He can't leave.
Rav is going to answer. Amar Rava. Rava answers. Zayis Emeres. The Mishnah that says that he needs a shtar to free him shows that you do own him. But the Gemara is thinking now, and this is, by the way, the normal logic of the Gemara. Eved Kenani, you own him. That's why his kids belong to you, and you own him forever. A Jewish slave, he's basically a worker.
It's an employment contract.
Yeah. So, by myself, like this, Eved Ivri Gufei Kani. He's owned for the duration of the 6 years. The master taka owns him. And, Bo'av Shamachal Agurinai, and if the master waives the remainder of the claim on the Eved, it's not waived. And therefore, he says like this, you need a document to undo that. In other words, they're not going to do it. Just like an Eved cannot become yours by saying, I'm yours. You need a shtar. Rabbi says the same way, he cannot leave without a document. Because you own him for the duration of the 6 years, which is very interesting. You don't own him, you own 6 years of him.
Yes.
You own 6 years of him. And because you own 6 years of him, in order to free him,
you have to give him
a document to free him. You know, you need to do an active action, not verbal. You need to do an action, i.e. writing a document, which allows him to be free.
Yeah, you own him all his services.
It's
a
transaction.
Like the basketball players.
You know, it's a very interesting... Huh? Yeah, but you can baseball... You could trade them. You could sell them against their will. You could trade them to another team against their will. You can sell them also for money. No, but that's... But you don't own their kids, you don't own their houses, you don't... No, but there is a certain... No, it's an example. You see that in a certain respect, for the duration of the contract, once the contract is up, you can't trade them, you can't sell them to another team. During the duration of the contract, you don't own them, they're not your slaves. You know, you can't control what they do in the off-season, But for the duration of the working contract, it is a type of ownership. Just like the Gemara says, in many respects, when you borrow something, if I borrow something from you for a month, for that month, I own it. Halachically, when I rent an apartment, it's my ownership, say for a year's lease, for the duration of the lease, halachically, I'm not renting it, I own it. Rental is an ownership for the duration of the rental. And the Gemara's Rav's Chiddush over here is Zayis Emeris, the fact that the Mishnah says you need to start to redeem him. And you can't just say go, yeah, shows that you owe him, you own him for the duration of the contract, and therefore if you want to undo it, you need to actually give him a document.
But after the 6 years, you don't need it.
No. No, he doesn't need a document. He doesn't need a document to go off for you after 6 years, just free, automatically.
So when we say Shatar, we only talk about
within the 6 years. Right. After 6 years, it goes off for you automatically. I mean, there's nothing there to do.
He doesn't need to prove that the 6 years up. Well, because he has...
We know when he sold them.
When he became a
slave. We know when he sold them. We know when he sold them, the date.
Oh, that's right. In that case, Beidin is involved.
Sure. Well, that's only if Bezim sells them. The guy sells himself. But you know when he was sold. I mean, there's proof or whatever.
So every time the Gemara says Shatar...
For Kainas Atzmei...
Shichur, it's only during
the 6 years.